I would like to take this opportunity to welcome all the devotees to our 2005. I'm going to the 109th year. Nandotsav festival and also the appearance day of Nandulal. That's what Prabhupada was called when he was born on the next day of Janmashtami, on the 1st September 1996. It was very interesting that it was like a prediction made that he will spread the glories of Nandlal practically all over the world. So this day is also celebrated as the most auspicious appearance of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We also celebrate it as the Vyasa Puja, meaning it is the glorification of the spiritual master, especially Srila Prabhupada as the founder Acharya, who is a representative of Vyasadeva. That is why we also call the asana as Vyasasana, because Vyasadeva was originally the personality who documented all the scriptures, compiled all the scriptures, and whatever we speak is based on the teachings of Vyasadeva. Similarly, I don't think it will be any way an exaggeration to say that in one sense Srila Prabhupada has been the Vyasa for this century. How he presented that same knowledge, as Prabhupada very nicely called his Bhagavad Gita as it is, that he presented that same knowledge what Vyasadeva wanted to give to the whole world in a way that can be related with the current people, and they can apply it according to time, place and circumstance. That's the glory of the parampara system. And as a transparent via media, for this day and age, Srila Prabhupada amazingly presented that same knowledge in such a simple yet sublime way that not only scholars but also even simple people can easily read it, understand it and apply it in their lives. And it's very difficult on just on a day like this to glorify His Divine Grace. And just by hearing, I was hearing the report from Nasik and Kolhapur and here and there, how thousands of people are able to get on this yesterday, attended Janmashtami festival, participated, etc. It's all, if you just look, all over the world, actually thousands of people are getting the benefit of hearing about Krishna, understanding about Krishna, and actually getting inspired to surrender to Krishna. So in that sense, it's very appropriate that after Krishna's birth, on the very next day, we are celebrating the birth, celebrating the appearance anniversary of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So the program for today will be, we are starting this offerings at 6:30, and since tomorrow is also a working day and today is a Sunday, it is difficult for me to understand it's Sunday because it was in a different timing, is different. So we will try to end exact sharp at 8:30, so that we will have enough time to offer Guru Puja and take the Janmashtami Mahaprasad, Nandotsav Mahaprasad. You'll have enough time not to hurry up. So that's our plan. And therefore, my request is for all the devotees who are making their offerings today, we will try to accommodate as many as possible to speak on this very auspicious day. So kindly, as far as possible, try to restrict yourself to 3 minutes at most, so that that will be your service to your other God brothers and God sisters, so that they can also get an opportunity to share their realizations with all the devotees here. So I will begin this offerings by the beginning personality, Adi Keshav. Adi Keshav Prabhu, kindly if you can come. And I will also request Our Grace Janava Mataji, if she is here, to kindly be ready so that we can save as much time as possible. I'll name two people at a time. Hare Krishna. Ye karyakram.
Hare Krishna. It becomes more and more difficult every year. We have to come and speak about Prabhupada. But whatever, in association of his disciples who had direct connection with him, the most two prominent qualities which I can think of is, one is his faith in Guru's instruction and faith in the holy name. I remember one incident which I heard. This is a time when Prabhupada was here in India. He was an householder. So those days they were associating like sannyasis, grahasthas together. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj had already given this instruction that this message should be preached in the Western world. So then they were discussing among themselves that how is it possible? How can this happen? So Prabhupada would ask his god brother, do you doubt your guru's instruction? So his god brother, that is all right, but who is going to do this? And Prabhupada that time would look at his god brother and say, definitely it's not you. So Prabhupada was very sure that he is going to do it, and that was his faith in Guru's instruction. And after many years, somewhere early in 70s, when this same god brother who had this doubt, so he in Jagannath Puri, he saw from a distance while he was walking, he saw one 6-footer devotee, western body, saffron clad. So he was shocked, because those days, early 70s, there were no Western disciples. So he was curious to know that who is this person. So he went and asked him that, where are you come from? So he said, one of the European country, and who is your guru? So he said, my guru is Bhakti Vedanta. But this person, god brother, could not make out. So he opened the BTG and showed him. This is my god brother. So he looked at him. He said, oh, this is Abhay. So he was shocked that this person who had said that time that that was his faith in his guru's instruction. So he asked him that, how do you know my guru? So he said, he is my god brother. So when this disciple heard that he's a god brother, he offered him full dandavat. So that is what Prabhupada had trained his disciples, that how to treat. Then faith in the holy name, when Prabhupada first time came to India and he was in Calcutta, many of his industrialist friends and all, they came. And Prabhupada was very successful in the Western world. They came and asked, Swamiji, ye kya kiya aapne? Ye kaise kiya hai? So Prabhupada would say that, maine to kuch nahi kiya, bas Bhagwan ka naam. Nahi, nahi, ye aisa nahi ho sakta. कुछ तो किया आपने, ऐसे कैसे होगा? अरे मैंने कुछ नहीं किया, मैंने सिर्फ भगवान का नाम उनको दिया, बस उन्होंने ये स्वीकार किया और ये सब. दिस वॉज प्रभुपाद फेथ इन द होली नेम. सो दिस इंस्ट्रक्शन इन हिज गुरु महाराज एंड द फेथ इन होली नेम, दैट इज वॉट टर्न आउट. सो वन टाइम लेट वेन प्रभुपाद वॉज हैड ऑल हिज टेम्पल्स ऑल अराउंड, सम ऑफ देम दे वर वेरी कंसर्न अबाउट what will happen when Prabhupada leaves. Of course, their interest was very mundane. Means Prabhupada leaves, who he is going to inherit these crores of property? So they asked Prabhupada, once you leave, who is your sole inheritor? Of course, their interest was very mundane. So Prabhupada very, very simply said that those who follow my instructions, they will inherit the property. Prabhupada's understanding was that those who follow his instruction means they will receive Krishna's mercy. So this is how that mercy is still available here today, how we can see it all over the world in the form of books and devotees. Books, we have several times heard that they are like time bombs. They may explode any time. We have stories where they exploded top of the loft somewhere after several years. Some grandchild picks up and then his life gets transformed. So these books all over the world are just lying and they are like time bombs, and any time they may explode. This is how Prabhupada's mercy is available. This is how we told in the beginning that Prabhupada, when his disciples asked, Prabhupada, what is our qualification? Yesterday Radha Gopinath Prabhu was, how is it that we never even heard of Krishna and you are offering us the highest, Radha Krishna's love, which is not even known to Vaishnava Sampradayas here in India? What is our qualification? So Prabhupada said, I made your qualification. Prabhupada, what he meant was, you are completely empowered and you had the mercy to give it to others. So this is what is Prabhupada's mercy. Even today it is available to all of us. And only problem is, we are not willing to accept it. So today on this day, I can just pray to Prabhupada that he gives me the strength to continue following his instructions and experience what he is offering to everyone. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Adikesha Prabhu. Vyas Puja is also a day of expressing one's deep heartfelt gratitude to the glorious mercy that he has made us available, and also speak a few words of appreciation for the glorious contribution he has made for the change in the on this planet Earth. So on this day, devotees all over, actually GBC, sannyasis, temples, devotees from all over the world send their offerings well in advance, and that is put in a beautiful book, the Vyas Puja offering book. And we will be making this offering to Srila Prabhupada. This book, as all these offerings are compiled in a book, this will be offered after this offering. And after Janma Mataji, I request His Grace Madan Gopal Prabhu to kindly be ready.
Haribol. Haribol. So elaborating on the topic of faith, I read a nice incident with Brahmanand Prabhu. He was saying that how Srila Prabhupada was very determined to publish Bhagavad Gita, but he had no money to print it. So that time, Allen Ginsberg, he wasn't a devotee, but he was very sympathetic and enthusiastic. And he was always trying to help Prabhupada. So Prabhupada had instructed him to chant Hare Krishna, and which he was doing. He also helped Prabhupada with his immigration papers. He bought Prabhupada an harmonium. And he was helping Prabhupada in the sense he was trying to send this Bhagavad Gita manuscript to the printers. But all were rejecting it. Then he sent it to some other publishers, but they also rejected it. So after 6 months of trying, he gave it up. He lost interest. Then Srila Prabhupada, he gave this manuscript to Rai Ram Prabhu, who was the editor of Back to Godhead magazine. So Rai Ram Prabhu, he sent it to some academic publishers who also rejected this book. So he gave up the process. Then Srila Prabhupada gave the manuscript to Brahmanand Prabhu. And Brahmanand Prabhu came to the conclusion that this actually book has no commercial value, because every page is about Krishna consciousness, and if you're not interested in Krishna consciousness, then why would you purchase such a book? So he said there's no fancy poetry, there is no scholarly footnotes, no academics, no esoteric things. So he also had not so much of faith, and he didn't know what to do. He went to bookstores and libraries. He thought, probably we have to publish it ourselves. So he was just wondering how to get a book published. In the meanwhile, Srila Prabhupada had recorded this Hare Krishna record, which the Beatles were eventually very interested. And the record was doing very well. And some alternative radio station like WBAI, they were playing it over and over for 10 hours. And then Prabhupada got a mail which Brahmanand Prabhu was handling, and he brought it over to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, what is it in the mail? So he said that the worldwide publishing company Macmillan's, they have written a letter, and there's a check with the letter. It's an order for this record. So Prabhupada said, that's very good news, but you don't post the record, you go and personally give it to them. And tell them also that you have a Bhagavad Gita to publish. So he said, should I take the manuscript with me? Prabhupada said, no, you just tell them that you have a Bhagavad Gita to publish. Then he said, should I take some of your books which you have published in India, and should I say something about you? Prabhupada said, no, there is no need. You just go and tell them that you have a Bhagavad Gita. So the next day, Brahmanand Prabhu, he dressed up nicely, went to Macmillan's, and there he met the person who had given the order. He was an accountant. So he said, how will an accountant be able to publish my Bhagavad Gita? So he said, how am I going to tell him? And I don't think this is his department. So he was just thinking, what should I do? And suddenly a door opened, and there a person entered, and the accountant introduced him. This is James Wade, our senior editor. So Brahmanand Prabhu shook hands with him, and he just said, sir, I have a Bhagavad Gita to publish. So he says, Bhagavad Gita? By a Swami? He said, yes. Here in New York? He said, yes. He did it himself? He said, yes. It's a complete book? He said, yes. The entire Bhagavad Gita? Yes, yes. He said, that's exactly what I'm looking for, to fill our religious section. I've got Quran, I've got Buddhism, we have everything, but we don't have a Bhagavad Gita. We will publish it. So Brahmanand Prabhu couldn't believe his eyes. He agreed to publish without even seeing the manuscript. Everyone had rejected this book, but here somebody was ready to publish without even reading the manuscript. So he rushed to Prabhupada and gave him the good news, and Srila Prabhupada nodded as if he was already expecting it. So we see how Prabhupada was determined and how Krishna helped him. In another incident, once in 1967, Srila Prabhupada had a stroke and he couldn't type. So his left side was partially paralyzed. And Gargamuni Prabhu, once he saw one dictaphone in a store window, and he told Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, get it immediately. So it was a German Grundig one, and the salesman showed him how to operate. So he brought it back to Prabhupada, and he was teaching Prabhupada how to operate. Prabhupada said, you leave it here and I will handle it. So then Prabhupada started making many tapes, and the devotees were trying to transcribe the tapes. But Prabhupada was faster than the devotees. And it was a very tedious job, and the devotees couldn't manage to do it. So they were wondering how to keep pace with Prabhupada. So in spite of his ill health, he was still making so many tapes. Haigri Prabhu was there, he was the best typist, but he had no time because he was a teacher in a university. So one day, one person called Neil, he was in one college called Antioch College there, and he was studying, but he wanted a job. So in those days, I mean, even now, you can work at a job and you can get credits in your college studies if the job is related to your studies. So he wanted to come to New York and work with the Hare Krishna because his studies was related to religion. So he thought if he works in some religious organization, he could get those hours of credit to his college hours. So he came and he asked for a job. So they asked him, what can you do? He said, I'm a typist and a transcriber. He says, okay. So the prayer was answered. And then he was a very fast typist. So within no time, he finished Nectar of Devotion, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Vishwapanishad, Bhagavad Gita. And the semester ended, so was his work ended, and he left, and he was never to be seen again. So in these two incidents, you see that how Krishna helps a pure devotee, and they may look like miracles, but actually it's not a miracle. Krishna actually helps a pure devotee. For a pure devotee, there is no shortage of manpower, no shortage of wealth. And Prabhupada in his life showed us that if you are sincere, and Krishna helps you to achieve everything. So today I pray at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada that I may always remain loyal and chaste to this movement. Thank you, Prabhupada, for everything.
Krishna actually does miracles through his devotees. Nimitta matra, he said. So we actually see how simply by desiring and intense desiring to serve Krishna, Prabhupada, Krishna through Prabhupada filled such, this whole temple has manifested simply by his desire as revealed by Shyam Sundar Prabhu. He desired that a temple should manifest in this locality, and that is a proof of it, it's a miracle. I would request at this time His Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu to kindly make the offering of the Vyas Puja book to Srila Prabhupada.
Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Now I request His Grace Madan Gopal Prabhu to make his offering, and His Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu can kindly be ready.
Hare Krishna. So on this auspicious day of your appearance, Srila Prabhupada, we are all assembled here to glorify your qualities. But we should understand, some of us may think that we assembled here so that we can glorify Srila Prabhupada on his appearance day. But there is a big difference between any activities that take place in material world and the spiritual world. In material world, sometimes there is some general manager or some person who is retiring. And when he is getting retired or for any other occasion, he is glorified, say some any leader. And generally we see there is no need for those who are glorifying to speak. They speak because out of providence they are there. But here it is opposite. Here it's our need, our duty, and in fact it's our spiritual activity to glorify our spiritual master always. And in the material world, those who are getting glorified, they are getting more and more attached to the glorification. But in spiritual activities we see Srila Prabhupada all over the world, even when he was present on the earth, hundreds and thousands of people were bowing down to him. But still he was as a hamsa, as a lotus, completely unattached to all the glorifications that were coming to him. It's just like charity we are discussing in our Bhagavad Gita lectures. A charity in the mode of goodness or in the pure goodness. The person who is giving charity requires it to give more than one who is receiving it. In the material world, generally those who are getting charity, they are like asking, give me. And those who are giving, they are giving with some, that they are giving. But in spiritual activities, it's opposite. Those who are giving charity, it's a need for them to give. And those who are receiving, they just receive it as a part of spiritual activity. In a similar way, Srila Prabhupada, because of all our faults, we are assembled here today to glorify you. But we are all aware that it's just like, we are like dwarf trying to touch the moon, or we are all like a small lamp which we are offering to the sun, which is the source of all the light. Sometimes in Srila Prabhupada's activities, we saw that Srila Prabhupada did some pastimes which are required because he was preaching in the Western world. But it may appear that he was proud or he was doing self-aggrandizement in these activities. But you should understand that Srila Prabhupada did it because it was only required during the time, place and circumstance. For example, Srila Prabhupada made his own Praniti Mantra. up till that time, during Srila Prabhupada and up till that, all the previous acharyas, the Praniti Mantra were written by all the disciples. But when Srila Prabhupada was preaching in the West, there was no proper disciple available, no disciple available with the abilities to write down the Praniti Mantra in the Sanskrit language. So Srila Prabhupada had to himself do it. Sometimes in Japan we hear once in the beginning days when Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja celebration was taking place and the devotees did lot of mistakes and he has to chastise where is Pushpa and the devotees got, they could not understand what's happening. So they thought they heard Pushpanna. So instead of getting the flowers, they got some one variety of rice. So Prabhupada was more angry. Where is the flowers and all these things? So sometimes it may appear that Srila Prabhupada is giving instructions how to glorify himself. Or sometimes it may appear that he is getting angry because he is not getting glorified properly. But you should still understand that Srila Prabhupada was not at all affected by the glories. He never became proud. Once in lecture in one Western country when he was speaking, he explained a bit about Varnashram Dharma, first class, second class, third class. Then one person got up and asked, Swamiji, which class do you belong? So he thought that Prabhupada may say, I belong to first class man. Yes, Prabhupada just got up, he said, I am a 10th class man. That was his heart speaking. Now, when he was speaking, chastising his disciples, to telling them how to do Vyas Puja nicely, people may think that, he is so attached to his glorification. To him being glorified that you are such a great person. But actually, Srila Prabhupada was always thinking that he is the most insignificant instrument in his guru's hand. Another time, we see Srila Prabhupada always says, Guru is like a postal peon. A peon is not a very great position. It's a very ordinary position in the material world. But still, we understand that Srila Prabhupada thought himself, he did a big thing. He preached all over the world, which was never done before. He had big, big centers, temples, bus parties, crisscrossing whole of North America. But still he thought himself that I am a postal peon, just ordinary person, taking something from here and giving it to another place as it is. In fact, that is the credit in the spiritual life. In this material world, if we see the sign of proud, is that when we take something, we want to put our impression on that. This thing I am giving to him, but let there be my touch. It's very difficult in this material world to pass on one thing from one place to another without putting our impression. Let my thing be also there. Without changing. We always want to put my opinion. It happens inevitably without our consciously thinking of it. But Srila Prabhupada, he was well aware. And because if I want to pass down this spiritual message of parampara, and I have to pass down it as it is without any change, subtraction or addition. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada called himself postal peon. So we should never get confused sometimes when we see that Srila Prabhupada did some pastimes like this. But we should always think that Srila Prabhupada was the most humble person. He made all, it was very easy. Sometimes we make one small temple or small, we just issued one book, what to speak of temple. And we become proud, I had done one book. But Srila Prabhupada, he created a revolution which was unparalleled all over the world. But still he did not think that it is his credit. He gave all the credit to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur. I am just a postal peon in his hand. So today on this occasion of his Vyas Puja Appearance Day, I would humbly like to beg, especially for myself, and for all the devotees, that please this quality of his to do the activities for his spiritual master in a big way. Not that to be humble means we should be not doing anything. To do the activities in a big way, but completely not getting attached to it or not getting proud because of our devotional service. So I beg myself, Srila Prabhupada, please empower us, because to do devotional service, we require the empowerment of Gurudev. And again, to not become proud by doing devotional service, we again require the mercy of spiritual master. So today, on this occasion, I beg these both mercies, the Srila Prabhupada, please use all of us in your devotional service the way you like. But at the same time, please be merciful and protect us from the associated pride and ego that comes with it. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Madan Gopal Prabhu. It is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyena Bujhaya. The activities of the Lord and His pure devotees are very difficult to understand. But it also said, it takes one to know one. So, he's really brought out very nicely some very glorious but very seemingly inconceivable activities or qualities of Srila Prabhupada. Now I'll request His Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu to speak. And in the meantime, Our Grace Tulsi Manjari Mataji can kindly be ready.
See, every aspect of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada's life, was perfect. So there are so many qualities, as He was complete, and in any dimension you see, we can glorify that for days and days, because knowing, we can never know a pure devotee enough. We are not on that level. So I wanted to just talk about one particular dimension, and that is that which is also very unique, that Srila Prabhupada in his entire 81 years that he stayed on this planet, he was so consistent, single-mindedly consistent about his one objective. If you really see, if you take our lives or even if you take the lives of many famous people in this century, in the previous centuries also, generally, you will find that there is hardly anyone who could have just one motive from the time he or she has been born and till the time they depart. We know that Srila Prabhupada was empowered, and this is really proof. If you see that the family which he was born in, literally from the time he was born, his father was also a pure devotee and he had very strong Vaishnava goals which are unheard of. No father ever has these goals for any child. This was very amazing. And then at every step, he may have had so many setbacks, seeming setbacks, but his goal was always the same. If you call it in business parlance, that he had a vision and a mission. His vision was to spread Krishna consciousness around the world, and his mission was to satisfy his spiritual master. This was from the time we know, whatever the external responsibilities were, which is absolutely unique, that his first and last priority was the same. And if you analyze it closely, as we know his story, his life story, at any time, whatever there may be external situation, whether he had at the end of his lifetime on this planet, 108 centers and thousands of disciples, or when his business was burglarized and he was literally on the street, he was thrown out of the temporary temple that he had in he had started in Jhansi. There were so many times, or when he was after he took sannyas, he was so impoverished, he had absolutely nothing with him. But at all those times, not only his faith was very clear, but he was so fixed that this swept his entire being. Consciousness right through. And without belittling anyone else, but if you were to really analyze with great names in society or in history, also as a comparison to try for making my point, even someone, a very great personality like Mahatma Gandhi, who his goal was to be a lawyer, and then because he became into a national movement, he was driven internally, personally, with spiritual goals. No doubt, very highly pious person. But at the end of the day, the final goal, his real priority was to for the welfare activities. Or even if you take Mother Teresa, very saintly person, who was highly motivated internally, spiritually. Her life was based on spirituality. But at the end of the day, the expression was to try to give that compassion in the way that the world understood. That's the way which could get a Nobel Prize or a Bharat Ratna or recognition in the international Catholic community. Prabhupada totally transcended that. His consistency was that he was in the line of parampara, and he was entirely beholden to Lord Krishna as his totally surrendered soul. If you see his prayers, if you see his pleadings, every time there has been, at whatever stage, there was no deviation from that at all, which is quite remarkable and which is real proof that he came for the specific message, and that is really what we have to do to follow. So really, what is the message for all of us then? That if you see, if we, all of us have in varying degrees an attraction for this movement, for Vaishnava Dharma, Sanatana Dharma, but then there is the other part of the life which has conflicting needs which are also pulling us other sides, which may be expressing itself in different ways. So how do we, on this auspicious day, take Prabhupada's example, and how do we transcend it in such a way that we can be, as he was expressing, that we let me be a puppet. So we also can be puppets in his hand. And I pray to Srila Prabhupada that just the way he could single-mindedly focus at all times, someday I would also be able to try to help in such a way that there would be no other desires to go forward in life. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Talking about vision and mission, I was immediately reminded Prabhupada's vision, how it was clear even before he established an international society. If you see the League of Devotees or the seven principles of international society in 1966, when actually there was not even one center practically, and he had a clear seven steps or seven purposes spelled out very clearly. And as far as mission is concerned, the inspiration for that he got from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's purport to second chapter, 41st verse, Vyavasayatmika Buddhir Ekeha Kurunandana. And therefore, because of that steadfast, clear vision and the mission, simply by sticking to that, everything else fell in place. And that's how we see that glory. Now I'll request His Grace Tulsi Manjari Mataji to make a presentation, and His Grace Sanat Kumar Prabhu to kindly be ready. But I would like to remind all the people who are making these offerings to kindly stick to 3 minutes. This is your service to Prabhupada for this Vyas Puja, so that other God brothers can also get an opportunity, because we are stopping sharp at 8:30. And whoever doesn't get, make your mental offering and offer it at the feet of Srila Prabhupada. If you can write it, wonderful. Prabhupada is going to accept. Actually, the moment you write your offering, Srila Prabhupada has accepted it, Krishna has accepted it. Even if I am not able to, if you are not able to come here, but still, we'll try to give as much time as possible to others. Hare Krishna.
Hari Bol. When we go through Prabhupada's nectar and other books written by his disciples about him, we find that his disciples appreciated every gesture of his. His widening eyes while speaking, his gestures and expressions while he gave Srimad Bhagavatam class, how he drank water from a glass without touching it to the lips, or he popped a gulab jam into his mouth. They even appreciated the way he tricked them into Krishna consciousness. Because of his childlike attitude, at the same time, intelligence and wisdom, due to his experience and age, they loved and adored him. He often told a story of funny stories and jokes which made his class lively. He told a story of a demigod worshipper who asked Goddess Kali for material benediction. She said she would give it to him on condition that he offered her a goat. He promised to do so, but when he obtained the material benediction, he conveniently forgot about it. Next time, when he went to the Kali temple, goddess Kali asked him, "Where is the goat you promised?" "It's very expensive," he said. "I can't afford it." "Okay, then offer me a pig," said goddess Kali. "That is also difficult," he said. "Then at least offer me a fly," said goddess Kali. The man replied, "There are so many flies buzzing around you. Can't you grab one yourself?" Prabhupada said, "This is the attitude of materialistic demigod worshippers who have no loving service mood. No matter how busy or ill Prabhupada was, he made it a point to give the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Prabhupada spoke untiringly, put his heart and soul into it, but he often found that his disciples would go to sleep when he spoke. Sometimes he reprimanded them and asked them to get up and go behind. In a joking manner, he said, "There is a joke, an atheistic Indian joke about this, that Srimad Bhagavatam class is a sure cure for insomnia." Insomnia is a condition where a person cannot get sleep, and if you listen to Srimad Bhagavatam class, you can remain free from this kind of a problem. He said Srimad Bhagavatam was for advanced students and contains everything needed for spiritual progress. Prabhupada kindly gave all these classes. He spoke with conviction and realization, which are recorded, and today we can hear them while traveling, while cooking, while deity dressing, or while having prasadam, in sick bed or death bed. The matchless gifts continue to purify our hearts. He won the hearts of many by simplicity, patience, earnestness, his love for Krishna, and obedience to the order of his spiritual master. In fact, even today, many are attracted to this movement, and they find that here is a sage we were looking for, whose mercy and teachings can pull us up to Krishna's abode. There are so many things we can praise and thank Prabhupada for. I hope always to remain in his service. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Tulsi Manjari Mataji. I hope psychiatrists here have noted sure cure for insomnia. Three times Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And waking up mantra is Mahaprasade Govinde, for your information. This is little detailed information. After Sarat Kumar Prabhu, I request His Grace Mahaprabhu to kindly be.
On the auspicious day of appearance day of His Divine Grace, a disciple always meditates on the indebtedness of his spiritual master. It's like a Vedic culture that when you get some benefit from someone, we always remain indebted to that person. That principle was exhibited by Draupadi when Ashwatthama was caught and he was about to be killed. She was saying that how can we kill this person, because we learned, got the knowledge from his father, and we can't apply the same knowledge to kill him, because the Vedic principle is that when you get something from someone, we always remain indebted. As for spiritual masters are concerned, our whole life is indebted to them. So recently we were in Vrindavan, and one of senior disciples of Sri Prabhupada, His Grace Gopi Parandan Prabhu, was explaining that how a disciple, whether it's a brahmachari or a grihastha, should always stay in a gurukul consciousness. So gurukul consciousness means always accepting the total obedience to the spiritual master and living only for the benefit of Guru. And allow Guru to mold the life so that he can mold the life of disciples into total servitorship. Then I just remember one story spoken by Srila Prabhupada himself. So he was instructing how a disciple should always remain faithful to his spiritual master. So he said that there is nothing lower than a dog, but yet even dogs have one good quality, that is faithfulness. And he told the story of a dog, a man and a baby. A man had to leave his house for a few minutes. So he placed his baby on the bed and left his dog to take care of the room so that he can guard the room. But when he returned, after a short while, he saw that room was empty and I was horrified to find a trail of blood leading out into a garden. So he followed it, and suddenly he came upon a dog. He was running out from the bushes with its mouth covered in blood. The man was shocked. He thought the dog must have killed the baby. So he angrily went inside, got a gun, pointed at the dog. Dog just sat obediently before the master, and he killed the dog, thinking he has killed his baby. But by the loud voice, the cry of Bobby, baby rent the air. The man went inside. He saw the baby was safe under bed. So he understood the fox attacked the baby. Dog put the baby under the bed to protect it, killed the fox and dragged it out into the garden. The man then lamented for his hasty decision. The dog was so faithful, he knew that he had fulfilled his duty in a violent way, and still he did not protest when his master shot him. So Srila Prabhupada said, a disciple should serve the spiritual master in the same way. If disciple cannot remain faithful to his spiritual master, then he is less than a dog. So when we do not follow the instructions of our guru, then we should understand that we are worse than a lower animal than a dog. So I remember, as a gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, I meditate on this instruction so that I can remain faithful and indebted to him in all the time. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Sanat Kumar Prabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says that, O Vaishnav Thakur, I am your dog. So today we heard excellent purport of Srila Prabhupada on what actually it means to be a dog. After Mahaprabhu's offering, I request Her Grace Prem Bhakti Mataji to kindly be ready.
This morning, Juhu temple ke andar, Yaduvara Prabhu was giving offering to Srila Prabhupada. So Yaduvara Prabhu has stated that one story. In that story, he mentioned that somebody was glorifying Srila Prabhupada for half an hour. Then Prabhupada stopped. And he told him, you can also become like me. So the point is, just like Maharaj said once, we can go on talking high philosophy, but Srila Prabhupada has given us so simple method that it's not that we have to stand on one leg or stop our breathing or not drinking water or like that, like Dhruva Maharaj. If we are ready and willing to follow the instruction which Srila Prabhupada has given, in this lifetime itself, we will get perfection of life and we can go back to Godhead. Prabhupada has made everything so simple, so clear, which was never done previously in the history of Sanatana Dharma. Secondly, you see, once we develop this love, bhakti, then the material desire, वो एक भुना हुआ चना होता है, you know, चने को जब, you know, when roast करते हैं, then this doesn't work as a for the purpose of seed. So the material desire, once we get involved in our spiritual life, then this material sense gratification will go automatically. Otherwise, there is no end of earning money and going to hell. Because it's such a difficult situation when we get involved in sense gratification, that's not possible. Both things cannot do together. There was a second speaker who was Devki Nandan. He used one word. This is the day when we want to use our time to tell people what is the balance sheet which we have done for the year. Urmala Mataji, last year, Srila Prabhupada's disciple came here, and our balance sheet, according to me, is that how many people were getting involved in the Hare Krishna movement in Tan Man Dhan, but actually whether there are their children, their family member, they are getting involved in the same way. After 25 years, 10 years, 30 years, we find we have given everything to the movement, but our children are not at all interested. They got frustrated by one reason or other. So it is our duty, if people are trained, our their industrialists or so many people trained their children, that they must do this, so they can take care of the empire. In the same way, it is our duty to see that our children also get involved in this movement. Otherwise, Urmila Mata, you are saying the future is not good. And the last point I may mention, that you see, bhakti will never come to us, because as Yadubara Prabhu said, that do the way Prabhupada said, do what I have done. Prabhupada ji has taken initiation. So we must also, because Mundaka Upanishad says that if we are not taking initiation and diksha from Guru, then whatever we will be doing throughout our life is a wastage of time. So we have to one day decide that we have to take initiation, diksha, and then Guru will teach us that is the way Srila Prabhupada done. And that's why he is so successful. So if we follow, and then we can understand Bhagavad Gita, then we can chant our rounds properly, then we can offer food properly to Krishna, and then we can eat prasad, and we can get proper association of the devotees. But until unless we take diksha, that's a very important part in our life, and we must see to it. So these are the 3 points this morning I have learned from the Jhu temple. So I just narrated. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mahaprabhuji. As Prema Bhakti Mataji is making her offering, I request His Grace Gaurang Prabhu to kindly be.
Hare Krishna. Sometimes I come across groups of teenagers who are Indian and quite far out in their attire, having rings in their eyebrows, lips, navel, and any other place you could imagine, wearing very strange clothes and talking all sorts of things which at least my generation could not even think of, let alone speak. I stopped to think, what are the chances of these young men and women paying attention to a stranger speaking words about God? Immediately, naturally and irresistibly, I think of Srila Prabhupada. He approached youngsters who were even more far out, strange and more weird than the ones we come across today. And the miracle is, He has transformed their hearts. Like a huge wave, Srila Prabhupada's faith and compassion drowns me. I feel great awe and enormous gratitude for the beautiful way in which Srila Prabhupada has touched and changed my life through His disciples. Srila Prabhupada was the perfect person, expert in everything. Somehow, His humor, I always remember the humorous part of His nature, and I would like to share with you two of these instances. Once there were a group of devotees who were around Srila Prabhupada, and there was one devotee, clean shaven, who had a very long tilak. It went right all the way into his forehead, right to the middle of his head. And Srila Prabhupada, he looked at this devotee, and he looked at him, then he looked at his tilak, and then his eyes traveled up further into his forehead, and then he looked questioningly at the devotee and asked him, is this a tilak or a racing track? And he walked past. And there was another instance when a devotee was very good in handling the charmer. He would do it with great skill and style, like a dance. And he took great pride in fanning Srila Prabhupada. Once when he was doing this, with a lot of gestures and, fancy fanning, there was a fly that happened to perch itself on Srila Prabhupada's face. And this devotee did not know what to do because with his fancy fanning, the fly wouldn't move. And then Srila Prabhupada had his eyes closed. Then he opened his eyes and he looked at this devotee and said, he said, "You are fanning the whole world, but you're not fanning where you are supposed to fan. Give me the charmer." And he took the charmer from the devotee and very gracefully he knocked it off his nose and returned the charmer. So these are small instances that really, you know, bring a lot of humor into, apart from his gravity. I want to thank Srila Prabhupada for everything he has given me. And thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for your far-out realizations of Prabhupada dealing with far-out cases. So, Chamara Dulayers, kindly please take note. I remember one time, one sannyasi, senior ISKCON sannyasi, was sitting and another person was asked to do some fanning. And he couldn't get any fan in a program. So, he took a newspaper, stood 15 feet away and he was just waving very artistically. And so this sannyasi turned and said, "This is called ritualistic fanning." So as His Grace Gaurang Prabhu is making his presentation, I request His Grace Radha Krishna Prabhu to kindly get ready.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, on the occasion of your appearance day, I would like to beg three very important wishes. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us these three mission statements, first is Nama Ruchi, taste in the holy name. So Srila Prabhupada has introduced us to the concept of chanting Hare Krishna. And unfortunately, we are not able to develop a taste for this holy name because of offenses. So Srila Prabhupada, during his time, would make sure that devotees should come together and chant the holy names attentively. And if you hear Srila Prabhupada's japa tape, it is very inspiring that as Srila Prabhupada is chanting Hare Krishna, in between the chanting, Prabhupada would say two words which are very conspicuous, and anyone who has heard those tapes will remember. What are those two words? Sit properly. And there was recently a conference on Wincom and in the Krishna Katha, and different devotees were discussing that who was that person whom Prabhupada was saying sit properly. And there were at least 10 or 15 devotees who were claiming it was me. Prabhupada was telling me sit properly. But the whole idea is, when we first start chanting, it appears so easy. But as years roll by, and we think that next so many decades we have to keep chanting this same holy name, unless we develop taste for this holy name, it is practically impossible to sustain this. So on the occasion of your divine appearance, I pray, Srila Prabhupada, for your causeless mercy so that I am able to chant the holy name offenselessly, and appreciate that millions and millions of years we have spent in this material world being entangled and suffering, and now having been introduced to the Nam Dhan, the wealth of the holy name, if we just appreciate and meditate, we are just a few years away from eternal life compared to millions of lives spent in the material world. Another 10, 15, 20 years, and then, simply by the process of this chanting, we can go back home, back to Godhead. So apart from Namaruchi, the second thing Lord Chaitanya has given is Vaishnava Seva. Just like there is a mountain at a distance, and if I am not able to see the mountain clearly, I can use the binoculars. So the lenses within the binoculars help me focus on the mountain more clearly. So ISKCON is filled with Vaishnavas, and these Vaishnavas are just like lenses. And Krishna is very far away, just like a mountain at the horizon. But if I try to see Krishna through the lenses of these Vaishnavas, then Krishna comes into focus very easily. So Srila Prabhupada, you have given us so many Vaishnavas and such a wonderful facility to serve them. Therefore, let me take this opportunity very seriously and engage in the service of the Vaishnavas. As Prabhupada said, that the association of devotees is just like a strong tree. So if an unripe mango has to become ripe, all the mango has to do is remain on the tree and not fall away from the tree. That is all. So now we are connected with this association. All we have to do is just remain in this association and follow the process. And nowhere Krishna gives any condition that to go back to Godhead, you have to do so many things and only then you can go back. Nowhere Krishna mentions that you have to perform great feats in the association of devotees and prove to the society of devotees that you are something and then only I will take you. Nowhere Krishna says you have to distribute 10,000 Mahabig books. Nowhere does he say that you have to chant at least so many millions of names. Nor does he say you have to distribute so many plates of prasad or you have to open so many temples. So no such requirements are given. All that is required is we remain in the society of devotees and serve the devotees with humility. This is my prayer, Srila Prabhupada. May I develop this consciousness that I am able to serve the devotees with humility, humbly, unconditionally. And then when we serve humbly and unconditionally, sometimes we become proud and then we may commit offenses. So let me also serve the devotees offenselessly. And then the third aspect, apart from Namaruchi and Vaishnava Seva, is Jive Doya. So whatever strength we receive by hearing and chanting holy names and by serving the devotees, let us share this with others. And Srila Prabhupada has given us this wonderful preaching facility. ISKCON is like a fire brigade. The world is on fire. People's heart are inflamed with feelings of lust. And this inferno is raging terribly. And there is only one way it can be destroyed. And that is by the process of distributing the holy name and Harikatha. One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the meaning of this prayer? Nikunja yono ratikeli siddhye yayali bhi. That the Guru is assisting Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. And then he wanted to know something esoteric, something very deep, something very rasic. So Prabhupada said the meaning of this is that disciple must help Guru distribute books. I am distributing books, assist me in distributing books. Because that is ultimately the mission of spreading the holy name and the Katha. Gurudas Prabhu explains that as he was coming to Vrindavan for the first time with Srila Prabhupada, and they were in the car from Delhi to Mathura to Vrindavan. So he was thinking that it is going to be such a fantastic experience that for the first time I am going to enter Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is coming to Vrindavan. And so he is going to reveal something very esoteric on the journey. So right from Delhi he was sitting with great expectancy, expecting what Srila Prabhupada will speak, which pastime he will reveal. And as the car left Delhi, until they reached Chatikara Road in Vrindavan, Prabhupada didn't speak anything at all. He was just chanting all along. And as they were about to enter into Vrindavan town, Prabhupada immediately turned around and looked at Gurudas Prabhu, and his heart jumped that now he is going to speak something. Words are going to come out. The pastimes are going to be revealed. And Prabhupada said just one word, cement. And he was bewildered. And he tried to understand what is the meaning of this word, cement. And Prabhupada continued chanting. And he couldn't figure out what is the meaning. And Prabhupada turned back again and said that if we have to build this temple at Vrindavan for thousands of pilgrims to come take darshan and get benefit, we have to start planning now how to get the cement. Otherwise, it will be impossible to get the cement on time because of the license. And then it struck him that assisting Srila Prabhupada in the mission is not a matter of just some sentimental speculation and trying to prematurely enter into the higher pastimes of the Lord, but humbly assist in whatever possible way in spreading the mission the way He wants to be spread. Therefore, on this day, it is my prayer that let me become a humble instrument in this glorious mission of yours. So Lord Chaitanya has given us the mission, and from the beginning of creation till date, nobody has ever created an institution which has come even any close to fulfilling that mission. From the time the Kali Yuga began 5,000 years ago, we have not seen any institution which has come close to fulfilling the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada has created this institution for the first time, and it is only 40 years old. And therefore, there may be flaws and faults in the institution. But if we focus only on the faults of the institution, gradually we may lose faith in the mission also. And therefore, appreciating the fact that what has been achieved is something remarkable, we should try to help correct whatever is wrong in the institution. At the same time, never lose contact with the mission. That means continue preaching and continue assisting Srila Prabhupada in this glorious mission of distributing the Lord's compassion to others. So on this day, Srila Prabhupada, I pray to you that I am able to assist in whatever insignificant way by developing the sufficient purity to become an instrument in your glorious mission. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you very much, Gaurang Prabhu. He's touched the heart of the matter. I was thinking that it's like a trident. Jive Daya Name Ruchi in Vaishnav Seva is like a trident. Vaishnav trident. And anyone who is empowered by this trident, like Mahadev, Vaishnavanam Natha Shambhu, can actually has the power to destroy Maya and establish Krishna consciousness. So I think we should all write it down and empower ourselves with this trident. So I will request Grace Radha Krishna Prabhu, and as he is making his offering, I will request Her Grace Lalita Mataji to kindly make get ready.
Srila Prabhupada, you have given us these wonderful temples, and also you have given us so many opportunities to serve. And you have made it so simple by giving an outline that by distributing the holy name, distributing the transcendental literature, and distributing Krishna Prasad, we can become instruments in your mission of spreading Krishna consciousness to everyone in this age of Kali. I thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for all that you have given us. And I thank you for engaging us. And I said last year, Vyas Puja is a time for us to give a report to you of what we have done in the last year. Last year, I stood here and said that we are starting this program of midday meal as a part of the Food for Life project, in which we started with 4,000 students getting Krishna Prasad every day. By your mercy, Srila Prabhupada, today the figure has reached 31,000. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you very much, Radhakrishna Prabhu. It's very nourishing to hear this. As His Grace Lalita Mataji is making her offering, I will request His Grace Govind Prabhu to kindly be ready.
Dearest Srila Prabhupada, please accept my most fallen obeisances at your lotus feet. Today, since morning, I have been trying to fathom the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. But each time I am trying, I am simply bewildered and baffled. There are so many angles to Srila Prabhupada's personality. If we try to concentrate on any one of his qualities, we can purify ourselves for the rest of eternity. His love for his disciples is unfathomable. The extent of his sacrifice for giving us this wonderful and glorious moment is simply amazing. I am so grateful to Srila Prabhupada for having given me such a wonderful Krishna conscious family in which my little son and husband have such immense faith in his divine grace that even if I tend to become lax, they are always there to pull me back to his lotus feet. This is a very rare thing in this age of Kali Yuga and would not have been possible without his mercy. Srila Prabhupada has literally done spoon feeding for all of us. Everything that we need to know spiritually or materially is there in Srila Prabhupada's Shikshamrit, letters and his conversations with his disciples. We just need to follow blindly without adding or subtracting anything into that. On this auspicious day, I simply beg Srila Prabhupada to always let me remain grateful for this wonderful gift he has given us and never take this gift for granted. I also pray that he always lets me remember that I am here only because of him and that I may always remain here faithfully, never to leave him again. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Mataji. So as His Grace Govind Prabhu is making his presentation, I will request His Grace Dwarkadish Prabhu to kindly begin.
Recently, His Grace Naranarayan Prabhu was telling the story of Srila Prabhupada's preaching endeavor. He said when Prabhupada was in New York, he tried so many ways to establish Krishna consciousness in the West. And it was not easy. It was not that when he went there and everybody came to him, they became devotees. In fact, we read in the Lilamrit, many times Prabhupada would come to the harbor asking for the next ship back to India. And then again, because he had the instruction of his spiritual master, and more than that, he had compassion for the fallen conditioned souls, he would try again. And he said, one time he decided, this is the last endeavor I will do. And as Gaurang Prabhu mentioned, and others also mentioned, because of his complete conviction and faith in the Holy Name, he came to the Tompkins Square Park. He sat under that famous tree and he closed his eyes. And he started chanting Hare Krishna mantra. And he was mentioning that was the final endeavor Prabhupada was planning to do to preach Krishna consciousness in the West. He closed his eyes, he chanted for a long time, and the opening of the eyes was making a conclusion of his preaching endeavor in the West. When he opened his eyes, what did he see? He saw hundreds of Western girls and boys around Srila Prabhupada clapping their hands and trying to chant Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then Naranarayan Prabhu said, he knew that now his mission will flourish. It is successful because the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has caused influence in the heart of these young people. And therefore, Prabhupada decided to stay and spread the holy name of the Lord. And therefore, in regards to chanting Hare Krishna, as Gaurang Prabhu was mentioning, we endeavor so many ways how to chant nicely. But Prabhupada's standing instruction for chanting nice rounds is to sit properly. That is a simple instruction. By sitting properly, therefore, I remember our Devambur Prabhu, when he was the president at Shri Radha Gopinath Temple, he would emphasize on sitting properly. And he had this formula that anybody who sits in an improper way, he goes to sleep. We would not accept it, but he was right. So therefore, following this instruction of Srila Prabhupada, sitting properly and chanting Hare Krishna, it's so important. And at the same time, another devotee, his Pitru Bhruvash, he was mentioning to us, he said, Prabhupada was so practical, but at the same time uncompromising. He approached Srila Prabhupada and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I can only chant 8 rounds every day. He was a big man, a big coach, a tennis player, very famous. And he came to Prabhupada and he said, can you initiate me if I only chant 8 rounds? Now you can imagine that somebody is following you and is such a big personality and you have to compromise a bit. That just is chanting 8 rounds, willing to follow all the principles. But such person becomes your initiated disciple. And what did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, no. You have to chant 16 rounds to be initiated. And Peter Bharwash was mentioning, that was so inspiring in my heart. Prabhupada did not compromise the principle of giving initiation simply because I was a big person. He said the standard remains the same. And that is so endearing. It is so pleasing to my heart. Even though I am not initiated, I feel so closely connected to Srila Prabhupada. And even though Srila Prabhupada was very uncompromising, very strict in regards to standard, but at the same time was very, very practical, down to earth. He was very worldly wise. One time Gurudas Prabhu, he asked Srila Prabhupada, because in Los Angeles temple, one Indian man was exhibiting the so-called ecstatic symptoms. He would come to the temple and he would disturb the devotees. He would lie down as if he is expressing or exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. They approached Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, how do you know he is actually exhibiting ecstatic symptoms? Prabhupada said, very easy. You just kick him. When you kick him, if he is actually exhibiting ecstatic symptoms, he will not come to know about it. He will not notice that somebody is kicking. But if it is not real ecstatic symptoms, then he will simply get up and he will walk away. That was the practical approach of Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, on this most auspicious occasion, I also pray the same kind of prayer as Gaurang Prabhu was making. That even though there are there are few defects in not regards to Srila Prabhupada's mission or vision or the standards of his institution, but unfortunately we have failed to apply them properly. Therefore, it may seem that there are some faults. But if we continue to strive to practice the Siddhanta which Prabhupada has given, then we can contribute something positive to Srila Prabhupada's body, which is ISKCON. So I pray that Srila Prabhupada, you may bestow loyalty to your mission and desire to serve your servants. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. As Dwarkadish Prabhu is making his presentation, I would like to request, we are very, very fortunate today to have with us His Grace Yadubar Prabhu, one of the earliest disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And I feel on this particular day, it is like his blessings that he has, his intimate disciple is with us. I will be requesting him to kindly make his presentation.
We have gathered today to, one of the reasons we gather today is to churn the nectar of Srila Prabhupada's glory. And each and every devotee wonderfully brings out different dimensions of Prabhupada's variegated, multifaceted, transcendental personality. So, we were reading Lilamrita yesterday, and we had a section about how Srila Prabhupada was such a powerful fighter. Obviously, to bring something so bold and transcendental from the spiritual world to a life of amongst sinful prisoners of this material world, there had to be severe challenges and fights. In 76, Srila Prabhupada had to actually undergo a severe court case in New York, which threatened the very existence of the movement as being unbona fide, unauthentic, and it would have threatened the very existence of Krishna consciousness on this planet. ISKCON began in New York, and that very city was actually challenging Prabhupada's rights to continue Krishna consciousness in such a big way. So, just a few, I thought we'd just read a small section of Lilamrit in a few minutes, 2 minutes, and see Prabhupada's fighting spirit, how he was a Simha Guru. The most significant battle, one that had concerned Prabhupada for several months, was a legal court case in New York. Adikeshwar Swami was being charged with employing mind control and keeping the devotees in the temple. The parents of two adult devotees had pressed charges from hired deprogrammers and had failed to break the devotees' determination for Krishna consciousness. In a spirit of anti-cult crusade, an attorney general was prosecuting using all the various means he had at his disposal in the American government to threaten Prabhupada's movement. And Prabhupada Havi handled the whole case so powerfully in training Rameshwar Maharaj to defend all the points. Regarding the point whether our movement is bona fide, you can follow the following arguments. Bhagavad Gita has got so many editions. Our books are older than the Bible. In India, there are millions of Krishna temples. Let the judges and juries read our books and take the opinion of learned scholars and professors. Regarding the second point about the parents, jurisdiction over their children, there are some suggestions. Do the parents like their children to become hippies? Why don't they stop it? Do the parents like the children to become involved in prostitution and intoxication? Why don't they stop it? And Prabhupada gives a very powerful statement. They are now feeling the weight of this movement. Formerly they thought, these people come and go. But now they see that we are staying. We have now set fire. So Prabhupada was that great personality who had fire of Lord Chaitanya's mission. And he set the whole world on fire, the fire of devotional service to Krishna. It cannot be stopped. You can bring brick-built fire brigades, but the fire will act. The brainwashed books are already here. Even if they stop externally, internally it will go on. Our first-class campaign is book distribution. And Rameshwar Maharaj goes on giving all the arguments, and Prabhupada keeps on counteracting in the mood of a lion guru. And regard to brainwashing, Rameshwar said, they claim that our lifestyle tends to make the devotees and isolate them from the world. Prabhupada said, yes, we hate to mix with you. No gentleman wants to mix with loafers. Crows will not like to live with ducks and white swans. And white swans will not like to live with crows. This is a natural division. Birds of a feather always flock together. Since the Prabhupada went on giving one after another all powerful arguments which Rameshwar Maharaj understood and imbibed, and this fierce mood of Prabhupada's attack indicates how he was so much wanting to safeguard. If anyone attacked him personally, he would probably not do this. But for him, Prabhupada had actually said, ISKCON is my body. And if anyone were to attack ISKCON, then he would not lie low and allow things to happen. He would use all his means, all his potency to actually safeguard the integrity of this movement. And it is most worthy to remember Prabhupada's love for ISKCON by saying that if you really love me, then you will have to cooperate. So on today's day, we like to reiterate in our minds that this wonderful family which we have got at our temple over here, we are experiencing the joys of cooperative devotional service, and let us with our heart cherish this as our most important spiritual asset, having each other with us. Lastly, a small pastime, very instructive, which took place between Prabhupada and one of his disciples. I believe it was Gurudas Prabhu. He once asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, which is the most important sloka in the entire scriptures? Very relevant question, because we have so many slokas. So Prabhupada said, what do you think? And he said, Haririnama, Haririnama, Harinama, Eva Kevalam. Prabhupada said, yes, but who gives you faith in the holy name? So he didn't say anything. So the most important sloka is, Yesa Deve Para Guru, Yatha Deve Tatha Gurav, Tasya Gathaya Artha Prakashante Mahatmana. That to have implicit faith in the words of Guru and Krishna is the most important sloka in the entire scripture. So, on today's most auspicious day of your appearance, Prabhupada, this fighting spirit and all that you did for the whole world, that comes from your powerful faith in Krishna and Sri Guru. And it is my most insignificant prayer that you may be blessed with a small portion of that infinite faith. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. So as His Grace Yadavar Prabhu is making his presentation, I will request Her Grace Devi Priya Mataji to kindly be in.
Nama Om Vishnu Balaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namade. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvase Sashunivadi Paskatare Sotarine. I feel very blessed to be back in Radha Gopinath Mandir. Very happy to be here again, especially on this wonderful transcendental day of Srila Prabhupada's appearance. I'd like to tell you a story of one encounter I had with Srila Prabhupada here in Mumbai, Bombay. Before anything was constructed on the Juhu property, Srila Prabhupada was staying at one gentleman's house. His name was Mr. Acharya. He was staying in one room. I was with him one evening, and a man came in. I don't know where he came from, but Srila Prabhupada in those days would pretty much allow anyone to walk in at any time and see him. That was one of the advantages of being in India. We could do that. And actually quite a few devotees came from the West hearing that was possible. This gentleman came in, and when he came in, he paid full dandavats and started glorifying Srila Prabhupada. And he went on and on. He didn't stop. And finally, Srila Prabhupada, he seemed to be getting a little annoyed. Of course, glorification of the guru is always welcome for the benefit of the follower. So at one point, Srila Prabhupada, he stopped him, he said, you become like me. And the man went on glorifying, and Prabhupada said, no, you become like me. So that was an instructive lesson, that sometimes we forget that actually Srila Prabhupada wanted us to become like him, all of us. He was telling this to a man he didn't even know, what to speak of his disciples. So sometimes we become, you can say, too much dependent on the guru. We've seen this in modern day religions, that they go on with their sinful activity and worship their guru, or you can say guru, master, and forget about their own advancement in Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada actually wanted us to become like him. That was his great hope. And he also gave many indications that he wanted many of his disciples, or all of his disciples, to take on other disciples to initiate and spread this Krishna consciousness movement. Obviously, that won't be the case. Everybody won't take up that service. but it's very clear what he did want of us. So we should always remember that it is very important, extremely important, to become Krishna conscious ourselves, to save ourselves. And then we can have a chance to have a great influence on others. Today at Juhu, I was participating in the glorification of Srila Prabhupada. I heard one very wonderful glorification by Bhima Prabhu. And his, briefly I'll just describe what he said. He was basically saying that Srila Prabhupada gave us everything. He gave us books. He gave us prasadam, he gave us temples, he gave us the philosophy. He gave us exactly what to do to become Krishna conscious ourselves. And his final lesson was, of course, in Vrindavan in 1977, where he taught us how to leave our body. And this is very wonderfully exemplified by His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami in his recent passing. So I'd like to read his offering, his Vyasa Puja offering, if I could. So Bhima Prabhu's point was that Prabhupada has given us everything, but all those things are meant to bring us to the proper point at the time of death, and that is to remember Krishna. Here is Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami's offering. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutare Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Praskyata Desa Darine. Dear Srila Prabhupada, for many years I have offered you words of praise that I did not fully mean or understand. Yes, last year I tried to offer myself in the mood of Vasudev Dutta to help minimize and remove some of the suffering and obstacles so many devotees have in their pursuits of Krishna consciousness. Obviously, I did not mean or fully understand this offering either. Nevertheless, you have been so kind to allow me to serve you with greater intensity and with more concern for others. I want to ask you for forgiveness for the number of times my false ego dominated my relationship with the devotees and in your service. I want to thank you for giving me such wonderful godbrothers, godsisters, disciples, nieces and nephews to associate with. I thank you for once again allowing me to serve you. But most importantly, I thank you for allowing me to stay on your team in spite of the many mistakes I made. You know all the areas I have procrastinated in and been outright dull in. So please forgive me for this also. By the time this Vyasa Puja book comes out, unless you have changed your plans for me, I will have already been called out of this present body to assist you in the higher realms. I am trying to help as many devotees as I can before going. But how can I do this if you do not make me more of a puppet? So in this offering, I say goodbye to Johnny Boy, John Favors, Gyanasham Das. Bhakti Tirtha Swami and Swami Krishnapad, for I am fully ready to embrace the new or old identity you have provided for me. This last phase was very difficult. I am that so-called spiritual warrior who is really just a beggar, full of gratitude. For I have been blessed by the best and have been too greedy to settle for anything less. But who is passing or have passed the final test only due to your unlimited mercy? Your son and beggar, Bhakti Tirtha Swami. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj ki.
Yes.
His Grace Yadavar Prabhu ki.
Yes.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yes.
Very heavy instruction that weighs down upon all of us, that Srila Prabhupada wanted us, each of us, to take up as much responsibility as him and try to at least follow in his footsteps. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your sharing your realization with us. As Her Grace Devi Priya Mataji is offering her, making her offerings, I would request Sahadev Prabhu to kindly.
Today, on this auspicious day of Srila Prabhupada, your appearance day, I would like to quote this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, in where the professional reciters had praised King Prithu. Although we are unable to glorify you adequately, we nonetheless have a transcendental taste to glorify your activities. We shall try to glorify you according to the instructions received from authoritative sages and scholars. Whatever we speak, however, is always inadequate and insignificant. Srila Prabhupada, today I would like to read from the Nectar Book Srila Satsarup Das Goswami says, although Srila Prabhupada taught by constantly giving encouragement to his disciples, he could also teach by humiliating them and thus very quickly bringing them to a better self-awareness. Many devotees give testimonies of these sometimes brief but powerful moments with Srila Prabhupada. Once on a walk along Juhu Beach with Srila Prabhupada, Giriraj Maharaj was describing the preaching he had done to newspaper men. "Yes, you are a very good public relations man," said Srila Prabhupada, which made Giriraj Maharaj feel highly elated. But a little later, the discussion turned to humility. Giriraj Maharaj said that sometimes he felt he wasn't really doing anything for Krishna and Krishna consciousness movement. "That is good," said Srila Prabhupada. "That feeling is humbleness." But sometimes, said Giriraj Maharaj, that feeling is turned into maya. Srila Prabhupada stopped walking and looked abruptly at his disciple. "Being turned into maya," said Srila Prabhupada, "you are always in maya." These words hit Giriraj Maharaj so strongly that he immediately offered obeisances before Srila Prabhupada. He had suddenly realized his actual position and had gained a glimpse of Srila Prabhupada's position as a spiritual master. Another time, Navayogendra Swami got a dose of the same medicine. He was chanting in a room with Srila Prabhupada, who pointed out that Navayogendra's bead bag was on the floor. "No, Srila Prabhupada, it's on my chadar." "But you walk on that chadar," Prabhupada said. "You have no respect for your bead bag." Navayogendra Swami accepted the criticism, but took heart and began chanting loudly. Then Prabhupada remarked, "Don't chant so loudly." So Navayogendra Swami began to chant quietly. But Prabhupada said, "If you are chanting, you should not disturb the spiritual master." On a morning walk into the fields near Bhaktivedanta Manor in England, Rohini Nandan Das, in his first face-to-face exchange with Srila Prabhupada, got a similar treatment. Prabhupada and the devotees were walking down the narrow, winding country road when they came upon a sign that said "Horticulture Show." Prabhupada pointed to the sign with his cane and asked, "What is horticultural?" The devotees stopped walking, but no one said anything until Rohini Nandan Das spoke from the back of the group. "Srila Prabhupada," he said, "I think it means fruits and flowers and vegetables growing." Prabhupada turned quickly and looked back at Rohini Nandan. "You think? You don't know? You think?" Rohini Nandan Prabhu bashfully hung his head and became speechless, while everyone else gathered around, looking from Rohini Nandan to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada banged his cane on the ground and repeated, "You think? You do not know?" Rohini Nandan did not take the reprimand lightly. He felt that a whole lifetime's pride of "I think" had been smashed to pieces by Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, "I am the same fool who always thinks that I am fine, I am great, and I really need this kind of chastisement through my spiritual master whom you have gifted to me. And on this auspicious day, Srila Prabhupada, I pray at your lotus feet that I serve your devotees to my utmost. Thank you very much."
Thank you, Mataji. As Sahadeva Prabhu is making his presentation, I would request His Grace Shyamanand Prabhu to kindly be here.
From the narrations and descriptions of Srila Prabhupada disciples, we find that in Srila Prabhupada's life, in his day-to-day activities as well as his interaction and dealings with his devotees, disciples and outsiders from all aspects of life. He displayed multifaceted, multidimensional qualities and skills. Apparently or seemingly insignificant situations, he made them, he out of those situations and incidents, he came out with such powerful and convincing preaching why and how one should surrender to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I would like to narrate two instances in this regard. One was narrated by His Holiness Grihaswami Maharaj. At the time when this Juhu temple was under construction, Prabhupada used to visit Bombay, and every time he came, they used to search for new places where to Prabhupada should stay. So at one time, Mr. Sethi, who was also very favorable to Krishna consciousness and Srila Prabhupada, he offered that Srila Prabhupada should stay with him. And although his house was still not completed, he offered his first floor room for Prabhupada to stay. And one day, while Prabhupada was sitting and many respectable people of Bombay were sitting around him, and he was chatting with them, one very poor labor who was just having a small cloth on his waist suddenly appeared on the door. And he came forward, he passed through those respectful persons, came to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, he offered flowers, bowed down to him, turned back and went away. Srila Prabhupada was stunned. He was silent for some time. And then he spoke after some time. He spoke that, see, his devotion, how he has come to me and humbly offered the flowers, paid obeisances. And I am so much moved by this. And then he quoted the shloka, Patram Pushpam Palam Thoyam Yume Bhakti Apranchati, that if anybody offers a flower, a leaf, water or fruit to Krishna, with love and devotion he accepts it. See, I am just an ordinary living entity and I am so much moved by his devotion. And Krishna is the greatest. If you offer him anything with love and devotion, how much happy he will be. So by this small incident, he has conveyed to those respectable rich people that it is not their opulence which can really please Krishna. It is the love and the devotion by which you offer to Krishna that is pleasing to Krishna. So these small instances give us the insight what Prabhupada has taught by these small examples. Another example is of His Holiness the Malkrishna Goswami. Some of the devotees invited him for darshan of Srila Prabhupada, and when he went, Srila Prabhupada was very deeply chanting the Chintamani prayers. After the prayers, he asked the congregation or the few people who were present there, if anybody has any question. And Tamal Krishna Goswami raised his hand. He told him that during that period, Vietnam was going on, America was in war with Vietnam, and the procedure was that they used to select some young people, train them for some time and send them for war. It was called, some draft board was there, and Tamal Krishna Goswami told that I am scared or concerned that I may be selected or I may not be selected. So that was his worry, because they were feeling that they are going to fight on a alien soil or different country. There was no national motive in it. It was some political thing, and why we should give our life for that. So he was concerned for that. So he asked Prabhupada, ki, what spiritual world is like? So Prabhupada said that there is no draft board there. And then he told a story, very, very illustrative story. He told him that there was a Christian minister in London, and he went to preach to some coal miners. And he was preaching them that how hell is, because he wanted to make them scarce that if you are not following or giving, surrendering to Jesus, you will go to hell. And hell will be like, it was a dark place, it is a cold place, it is a wet place, and so many difficulties are there. And the coal miners were thinking that already we are living in that hell, why we should get scared? Because coal miners, you know that they are always in the earth, down in the earth, and they are, that is dark place, cool place, wet place, water is sweeping there. So they were not scared. And then that minister was thinking, Christian minister was thinking how to bring them to the point so that they may feel scared, that it is not a proper place to live. Then he told that there is one more thing there. There are no newspapers and there is no tea. And they thought that now we must surrender to Jesus Christ. And then Srila Prabhupada asked Tamalkrishna Goswami, so in the spiritual world there is no draft board. You should not be scared. So if you want to go to spiritual world, that is Vaikuntha. Kuntha means worries. So in the spiritual there is no worries like draft board, etc. And then he asked Tamalkrishna Goswami, is it all right? And then Tamalkrishna Goswami said, yes. So from these small instances, we feel that how Srila Prabhupada, from these insignificant looking incidences, touched the heart of the people, changed the heart of the people. And this is the expertise of Srila Prabhupada. He was expert in every respect. So on this auspicious day, I am very grateful to Srila Prabhupada for giving us the treasure of Krishna consciousness. And as in one of the lectures, Gaurang Prabhu was telling that we are always spiritual beggars at the lotus feet of our great spiritual master, Acharya, founder Acharya, and all the Vaishnavas and the Parampara. So I on this day beg at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada that I can sincerely pursue the path of devotion. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Sadhguru Prabhu. So as Grace Shyamanand Prabhu is making his presentation, I would request Grace Kirtida Mataji to kindly come forward.
It is said that there is nothing so powerful as an idea whose time has come. And if we try to understand the way in which Srila Prabhupada began his efforts for forming a worldwide society of Krishna Bhaktas, it was predicted in the Shastras. Lord Chaitanya called one personality as Mora Senapati Bhakta. Lord Chaitanya predicted, a day will come and my name will be chanted in every town and village. And of course, it didn't happen for a long time. Very long time. In fact, Mother Ganga herself changed her course, completely submerged Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. Even that was not known whether he was really
he appeared here or he appeared far away somewhere. And it is interesting, the same Mother Ganga, so many thousands of years ago, had asked a benediction that if so many people come, and in Kali Yuga they are all sinful, grossly sinful, if they come and they take bath in me, what am I supposed to do with all those sins? And she was told that, don't worry, in Kali Yuga, there will be one personality who will spread the Lord's holy name. And with that chanting, you will also be relieved of that burden. Just like we have so many businesses going bankrupt, and there is one government board which says, okay, we will help you. So similarly, Prabhupada is a saint of that caliber, who spreading the holy names was not only going to help the conditioned living entities, but even somebody as pure as Mother Ganga. And Thakur Bhaktivinod, whom Prabhupada credited as the pioneer to benedict the entire world with Krishna consciousness. And he said, soon there will be a universal church. He used 19th century language. There will be a church. And this church will be not a sectarian church. This will be a church depending on love of God. And he said, oh, for that fortunate day when Americans, Russians, Germans, Scandinavians, they will raise banners, they will raise flags, have symbols in their hands, along with their Bengali brothers, chant through the streets of Navadvip, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Interestingly, Srila Prabhupada never behaved as if I am the one, I am the anointed one, or I am the one who is very special. He was very happy to take part in the struggle. There is one episode in the Lilamrit. It's called Crying Alone in the Wilderness. Aranya Rudan. If somebody is crying in the forest alone, who is hearing it? So Prabhupada is writing letters to many dignitaries and saying that I am crying alone. But once he did it, once he showed the world, even some of his followers started thinking, what's so great about it? I can also take a round trip ticket, I can book many flights, I can have seminars, I can have lectures arranged for me. And it's a great lamentation that something like that should happen. It happens all the time, but to give some other examples, previously people thought that it is impossible to run a mile under 4 minutes, until one fellow, he actually ran a mile under 4 minutes. And doctors were thinking that people may die because of exertion. And in 10 years after he did, more than 40 runners could do that. People thought it is impossible to break the sound barrier, the specific speed at which sound travels. They felt if aeroplanes started at traveling at that sound, at that speed, something wrong would happen. But now there are planes which travel at twice the speed of sound. So similarly, it takes one personality to actually do something, and then others feel that, wow, you know, actually I'm talking from my own experience. Just a few days ago I knew about someone who was very contorted in his thinking and very difficult to understand person. And he asked a particular doubt, and I said something, and he said, ah, that's it. And after some time I was wondering, well, I knew this answer, but I didn't get that exhilaration. How come when I speak something which Prabhupada has spoken, and other people feel so wonderstruck? So what is it that is in those words? Sometimes Srila Prabhupada's purports, they appear to be Prabhupada is hitting the same point again and again and again and again and again. But there is magic in it. Somehow, at least, I can't understand what it is. So, when we can't understand something, we just say it's magic. Isn't it? So, all these 40 years that since Srila Prabhupada's society is in existence, an institution is a difficult thing. Srila Prabhupada also acknowledged. Badrinarayan Prabhu from San Diego relates his story of Prabhupada is coming. Now that was like a big festival. Srila Prabhupada is coming. One telegram would come and devotees would feel, hey, Srila Prabhupada is coming. So in Detroit, they were working practically day and night to paint, to lay some tiles, have a new sound system, a new Vyasasan. And after 3 days of no sleep, and then Prabhupada came and started to give the arrival address, you know what happens. Nidra Devi always takes control of us. By the way, it is said that she is such a personality that she never goes to Nautankis and cinema theaters. But she's a very pious lady and she only visits temples. Especially satsang programs. Because she's a consort of Kumbhakarna. And she has decided that my husband has done so many sinful things, so I will spend all my time in temple satsangs. So we have this experience. Cinema hall, nobody, ideally nobody should fall asleep there. So seeing all the devotees practically, some touching the floor, some touching their knees and some barely keeping awake, Prabhupada turned to his secretary and said, spiritual institution, material world, difficult proposition. It's very difficult. It's not that it is very difficult for people to stay together in their karmi families and only when they come to devotional institutions they have problems. We just bring problems from outside, but we label them spiritual problems. We are problem cases and we just come wholesale. And we expect just by a hairstyle change or a dress change or some dietary change or some nomenclature change, some terminology change, some lingo change, everything will change overnight. It doesn't happen like that. So Prabhupada told us, be like a lion in the chase and a lamb at home. So practically everybody who comes to ISKCON wants to be a preacher, wants to do something, and that's what it is. It's a preaching mission. But we have to have this guideline. We have to be a lion in the chase when we chase objectives or project deadlines or commitments or some success in preaching, but a lamb at home, not to overpower our fellow, our colleagues with that success, because we know where that success comes in. He also gave it a different outlook when he called this having the heart of a Bengali mother and the courage of a British soldier. So, very interestingly how he has, like so many devotees have brought out his gravity, his sense of humor, his purity, at the same time his innovative ideas. So Prabhupada cannot be just put into one straight jacket. He is multidimensional. Just like his society is multidimensional. So on this day, I would just like to bow down my head at his lotus feet and the lotus feet of all his followers that I may be allowed to serve in some small way and to make his dream of making the whole world happy. In fact, everything, whatever he said, for food for life, he said, let the whole world come, we can feed them. So that boldness, that sweeping way in which he would encompass targets is so appealing. It is so enchanting that we should all try to make his dream true. In fact, he said, I have already made the building. And then he said, I have already purchased the decorations. You all just go and tie it. So I would like to pray that I would be counted as one of his insignificant followers. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. As Kirtada Mataji is making a presentation, I would request Sri Shridama Prabhu to kindly be with.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, I have no qualification to speak here, but I just want to make one point that when the Lord spoke the Bhagavad Gita to his dear devotee Arjuna, he gave lot of instructions. And if you read the Bhagavad Gita, you get sometimes totally bewildered. You don't know which of the instructions to take. But then, dear Prabhupada, you made it so easy for us. Just chant, dance, eat prasadam and be happy. And you are the living example of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. You are the dear devotee of the Lord. And you taught the world simple living and high thinking. In today's world, people believe in high living and simple thinking. High living means just going after sense gratification, and simple thinking means no thinking at all. So if people take to the simple life which you advocated, Prabhupada, simple living, high thinking, that means you said that if a man has a little land and he has few cows, he can be very happy. What else do you need? You chant the name of the Lord. You have cows, you have milk, you can grow your own food and you can be happy. This we have experienced ourselves. After coming to Krishna consciousness, we are not after sense gratification, but we are not unhappy. We are very, very happy. You have given us such a loving family, Prabhupada, where we can all together serve you. And on this auspicious day, I pray that I am able to follow some of the instructions which you have given. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for being brief and precise. After Shridama Prabhu, I will request His Grace Sankirtan Prabhu to kindly be ready.
Hare Krishna. We all, after coming to Krishna consciousness, have this tendency of trying to act smart with our spiritual master and thinking that we can go away with it. But one of the very, very beautiful stories which I'd like to tell all of you, there was one devotee of the name Sureshwar Prabhu, and he had a brilliant idea that in the Los Angeles temple, Srila Prabhupada had a particular system that he would wear a particular chappals which were very, very costly given to him by somebody. He would remove those slippers, go to the temple hall, have darshan, again go back, wear the slippers and go to his room and remove the slippers outside his room. So he said that the way I can get the maha of Srila Prabhupada is that I can get the same slippers, same brand, but my size, and put it when Prabhupada removes the slippers outside the temple. He will wear those slippers, go to the room, and then remove those slippers and go in the room and I'll take the slippers and put back Prabhupada's slippers. He was incidentally one of the bodyguards of Srila Prabhupada. He was appointed as a bodyguard. So he made his brilliant idea, and he said that nobody will know. He just shared it with one of his co-bodyguards. So when Prabhupada came, he removed his slippers. Sureshwar Prabhu was very excited. He took the slippers which he had bought, put it back, waiting that Prabhupada will go wear those slippers, the new ones, go to his room, remove outside room, and then he will take those slippers and put back the old slippers. Prabhupada, on this day, he wore the slippers, but instead of removing outside his room, he wore it right in the room. This day, it never happened like that, never ever. So this devotee was, you know, he was in anxiety, chanting outside. He was waiting, now what will happen? I want the slippers. After some time, one of the senior Prabhupada's sannyasi disciples came out. He said that, is there anybody by the name Sureshwar Prabhu here? Is your name Sureshwar? He said, yeah, my name is Sureshwar. There's a message of Srila Prabhupada.
He has said, thank you very much for those slippers. And his second message for you is that you should never cheat your spiritual master. So this is a very light story, but personally speaking, this story made a great impact to my heart, that we are trying to pose ourselves, Prabhupada, as senior devotees, relishing so-called the holy name and trying to help people in our services as counselors and everything. But actually, Prabhupada, we are cheating ourselves, but we can never cheat you. So my request is, Prabhupada, to kindly smash me in this endeavor of cheating you so that I can always be humble and always realize my fallen condition and my condition of serving my spiritual master and serving my dear God brothers, and the mood of humility which should be prominent in my mind and not the mood of cheating anybody. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Oh, great Vaishnavas, kindly check your slippers. As Sankirtan Prabhu is making his presentation, we have almost come to the end. I would request Her Grace Radharani Mataji to make the last offering of this Vyas Puja celebration this year, 2005.
Hare Krishna. So, today is a very auspicious day. Srila Prabhupada's appearance festival we are celebrating. Many devotees are bringing out wonderful qualities of Srila Prabhupada. And we can see that anyone who reads Srila Prabhupada's biographies, his books, comes in contact with his devotees, temples, they can see that they can derive a great source of inspiration from Srila Prabhupada. And we can see that how was that possible? Because Srila Prabhupada did not compromise. When Srila Prabhupada had to go to Western countries, one of his godbrothers in fact showed him how to eat with knife and fork. But Srila Prabhupada did not accept that. Even the dress, one Dr. Mishra, he gave him coat. Although he wore the coat, but he never gave up Vaishnava traditional dress, eating habits. Even he did not compromise following four legality principles. That was usual, that anyone goes to Western countries, he has to eat these things. But Srila Prabhupada did not compromise. And although there were so many obstructions were there, Srila Prabhupada had complete faith in the instructions of his spiritual master. And he had a great vision to establish this movement. One person, Mr. Ruben, he recalls when he met Srila Prabhupada in one park, he was sitting with him. And Srila Prabhupada that time had not started this movement, and he used to talk with him. And he used to tell that I am seeing temple filled with devotees and books. And here we can see that when I was just coming through the corridor, I had very difficulty to find a way, where so many devotees are just sitting everywhere. So we can see that this vision of Srila Prabhupada, how it has come true. Although he had not started in the beginning, but still he had this vision that this will happen. And this was because he had complete faith in his spiritual master. And he never felt alone. He always used to say that I never felt that I have separated from my spiritual master. So we can see that how Srila Prabhupada maintained that integrity and did not compromise any of these spiritual principles. So today on this auspicious day, I'd like to pray to Srila Prabhupada that to have that simplicity in the lives to follow His instructions and the instructions of His loving sons. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Sankirtan Prabhu. Before Radharani Mataji makes a presentation, I would like to offer 108 obeisances mentally at the feet of those Vaishnavas who could not speak on this occasion. Please forgive, because we have already made a commitment that we'll start at 8:30 the Guru Puja. So I hope you will bear with us. After Mataji's presentation, we'll start the last part of the program.
Srila Prabhupada, I would like to express my gratitude to you for the wonderful alternative that you have given us to the miseries of this material world. The Krishna consciousness movement that you have given us is such a wonderful package, such a perfect philosophy. The holy names and Krishna Prasad is such a wonderful blend which gives us the strength to overcome any difficulty or face any situation that comes into our life. And I had a long stay in the hospital and I realized it so much more, that the wonderful family of devotees that you have given us gives so much support, and the strength of their prayers help us to sail through difficult times. The holy names give so much strength. When we see other people suffering, then we realize the value of the devotees, their prayers and the holy names and the philosophy that you have given us. And more so, I realize the value of Bhaktivedanta Hospital which you have given us, where wonderful devotees give spiritual care to patients and help them to overcome the difficulties that come into their life. Also, the potency of the holy names that you have given us is so strong that anybody can take it up and perfect their life. There's a girl in the hospital who has leukemia, blood cancer, and just by seeing us chanting, she became so attracted to the holy names that she, just a 12-year-old girl, she started chanting the holy names, and whenever she's in great pain, she screams out a Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is just by your mercy, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
This reminded me of another case from Nasik. 10th standard girl who's got cancer of the bones, etc. She approached when I'd been recently, and I was shocked, I was surprised. She just offered obeisance. She says, Prabhuji, I have one prayer that you just pray to Krishna that I can think of Krishna in all situation, even though if I have, as I am leaving the body. She's a 10th standard girl. It's amazing how Prabhupada has given us this gift of Krishna consciousness, which and all circumstances, as Yadubhar Prabhu also pointed out, how successfully we can pass away. Thank you very much, Mataji. So now we'll start the Guru Puja. I would request His Grace Yadubhar Prabhu to kindly offer the aarti. First, after that, flower petals will be distributed and you can offer it 3 times.